first mitzvah we're going to discuss is Micah. Micah. There's a mitzvah in this week's parasha of Yosisa Ma'akel Legagecha. So here's the issue. The question is, let's before we talk about a roof, let's talk about a balcony. Let's talk about a landing, a staircase landing. Okay, you go up the steps. Some people, you know, they don't have a staircase. They have steps going up to their home, and there are steps, and there's no staircase, and then there's a landing on top, and there's no staircase. So if there's no banister, and there's no barrier. So if you have little children, you're going to right away put up some barrier, no one should get hurt. But let's say you know there are no little children visiting. Is a person in, and there's no I don't know government regulation. I guess in your private, do whatever you want. Is there a mitzvah d'oraisa to have a barrier on a landing leading up from your steps that's open? If it's 10 tefachim off the ground, and let's say l'chol it's dalet amos by dalet amos, or even if it's not, is there a mitzvah d'oraisa? So this, believe it or not, is a major machlokes ha'poskim. The Chazon Ish is of the opinion, absolutely not. Not a din of Micah. There may be a halacha of loisosim domim b'veisecha. There's a halacha that you're not allowed to have in your home anything which is a sakana. That's a separate halacha. Loisosim domim, it's a loisase. It's not an ase. Don't leave anything which is a sakana. That includes don't have in your Sefer Torah, your home a Sefer Torah. That's not correct. Loisishkoin b'ohelecha avla. It may not reside in your home in avla. Avla means something which can cause someone harm. Even a Sefer Torah, that's not correct. If you have a dog that's not on a leash, or you have, let's say, some type of a pit bull, or you have some type of a danger in your home, and someone walks into your home, mailman comes to your home, and he has to go up the steps, and there's something over there, so it may very well be that you mechuyav according to halacha to put up a barrier. Now, if that's the barrier, however, is a loisase, it's not an ase, and you do not make a bracha on the mekayim loisase, and furthermore, there's no halacha that it has to be 10 tefachim tall, and it has to have any type of structure. It has to just be something which is acceptable according to society that the danger has been avoided. So if you have a landing, you have steps going up to a landing. Let's say it's a big ascent. Something a lot of steps. You come up to a landing in front of a door, and if you don't put something on the side, a person chas v'shalom can fall. The mailman comes there every single day to deliver your mail. Are you mechoyev al pi halacha to put up a fence which is a mica, and according to halacha, mica has to be 10 tefachim tall and have no gaps, be completely secure, and you do a mitzvah, say you make a bracha asher kedushanu b'mitzvahs of sivanu al asiyas ma'akeh, or is this in the category of loisosim damim b'veisecha al tishkoin b'holecha avla? It is a loisase. You will not make a bracha, and it does not need to be 10 tefachim, even if it's just 3 tefachim or 1 tefach, or you put something there at the edge of this edge that will prevent a person from falling over, that would be sufficient. The Chazon Ish holds that the only time you are mechuyev to make a micah, the mekayim, the mitzvah saseh of micah, is only on a roof that is above, directly above a dwelling. If you have a home and you have a flat roof, and there's some type of ladder that takes you from your home to the roof, either on the inside or the outside, and you have a roof directly above your residence, and your residence is at least 10 tefachim tall and has the dimensions of dalet amos by dalet amos, that is the only time, min haTorah, you trigger the requirement to build a micah. And the micah has to be 10 tefachim tall, has to be all four sides. There may not be any gaps. I don't even know if you say lavud. Lavr is only when a lamish mechitza. When it comes to Micah, Micah is a real mechitza. I'm not so sure the rules of Lavr even apply in this case. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's a mitzvah say. You can make a bracha. The one who makes the bracha is the, if it's a Jewish worker, the Jewish worker makes the bracha when he puts up the Micah. It could even be that he makes it in the, I'm not sure if he makes it in the beginning or the end, but the Jewish worker, if he, the one who you hire to make the Micah is a non-Jew, you hire a guy, so you, the guy should leave over the last thing that needs to be done, should let you do it, and before you put that last piece of the Micah, you make the bracha, asher kedushan b'mitzvah al asiyas Micah. It's a very rare mitzvah, a very unique opportunity. But the Chazon Ish says if you have a balcony, okay, you have a balcony, they're building all these new condominiums, all these new apartments, and they build these bar parks, the whole bar park is full of balconies, and they go and they build these balconies, these slabs that come out of the building, and eventually they put up some type of mechitza. The Chazon Ish says that is no chiyuv min haTorah to make a Micah, because those balconies is not resting above a dwelling place. It's just hanging loose in the air. A balcony or a landing is completely exempt from Micah. There's another din. There's a loisase. Al tishkoin b'olecha avla. Okay? Loisasim dam b'vesecha. But it's not a nase. That's not a Micah. You don't have any, there are no guidelines in halacha what to do. Just do whatever the city tells you is within the codes, and you're done. You're finished. Everyone across the board disagrees with this chiddush of the Chazon Ish, which includes the Stipler, Rav Shmuel Wozner, the Shev Alevi's Dechzad in Levracha, and I think Rav Yosef, and who else? Chaim Knievsky, and he a long list. All of the Paiskim say the words of the Chazon Ish are Devam Ploim. It's a Pella, because it's a Ferish of Sifrei that says that a Mirpeset, which basically is a balcony, is Chayiv in. It's chayav or the other way around. Whatever they being raised that it's a pella for him to say this, and they disagree. They hold, everyone holds a balcony or a landing area is chayav in a biblical Micah. And now the shayla doesn't have to be. It could be. It has to be the chayav. It has to be at least dalit by dalit, 4 amos by 4 amos, 36 square feet. But if you do have an area of 36 square feet, maybe I think it has to be a minimum of dalit by dalit. Then there's a mitzvah deraisa, and you can and even should make a bracha. So this is something to be aware of. This machlekes hapoiskim the Chazon Ish versus everyone else with regard to a balcony, with regard to a landing area coming up from steps. Is it a din deraisa, or is it a misase, or is it a loisase? The nafkaminas are bracha, no bracha, and does it have to be 10 tefachim tall? Because think about it, you have a landing area. So not every, they make these barriers, not every barrier they make around the landing area is 10 tefachim tall. You have a little, just something to guard, you shouldn't fall off in certain situations. So this is a very big nafkamina. Some people, so they won't make a bracha. That's
so
why...
A staircase would need a railing?
A staircase...
Doesn't have the full area.
So a staircase, he doesn't talk about a staircase. A staircase, it's like a ladder. I don't think going to anyone.
You have to be careful; someone should get hurt. But there's no mitzvah saying.
No, the staircase appears not to be. It has to be a flat area, yeah. A flat
like
area
a
which
deck.
Has the dimensions of 4 amos by 4 amos.
A deck.
It's not. It has to be. It's not 6 feet by 6 feet. It's not all that big. 6 feet by 6 feet. Okay, so a landing. You come to a staircase. You come up the steps, and you come to a landing. It's extremely common. Extremely common. You come up the steps, you come to a landing area, it's 6 feet by 6 feet, it has to have those dimensions, and the question now is, it's open, there's nothing on the sides, you can fall off a height of 10 tefachim, which is not all that much. Is this an area that requires, it's attached to a bias, it's connected to a bias, but there's nothing actually underneath it. There's no one living underneath it. According to the Chazon Ish, if no one is living underneath that landing, there's no din Micah.
Wait a minute, you're talking about an outside staircase.
Outside staircase.
Yeah.
Outside staircase, of course. Outside staircase.
And how would you get down the steps?
What do you mean?
You're going to build an enclosure all around and it can't be any
not
gap.
The steps. Steps do not need... according to government laws, you may need a banister to protect from falling on the staircase, but in halacha... A steps is a ladder. And a ladder by nature is a sakana. If you go up the steps, you got to be careful. You got to be careful that you're entering an area of sakana.
I'm trying to see how you could have I don't picture things well. If you have a landing on the staircase, the stairs have to go up to the landing.
Okay.
Right? If you meant to make a maka, which isn't allowed to have any gaps, how is the
staircase? No, you're allowed to have a gap going to the steps.
Oh.
That you can have. But what about the sides? Is there a mitzvah deraisa that have some barrier on the sides? The Chazon Ish says if someone's living underneath that, yes. If no one lives underneath, no. It may be a good idea to put something around the edges. No one should get hurt. Al tishkoin biolecha avla. But that's a lois saseh. That's not a mitzvah saseh. There's no bracha. And there's no requirement of the dimension to be a certain height. But everyone else disagrees. Everyone else, the Shevet Alevi, the stipel, the Kilas Yaakov, they all say the words Chazon Ish are very difficult to understand, and you should have a mica and you should make a bracha. If you have a hire a Jewish worker, let the Jewish worker make the bracha when he starts it. If you hire a guy to do it, then you should make the bracha, and you should make the bracha when you finish off the very last part of the mica. Okay, let's go to the next mitzvah. The next mitzvah is Shatnez. And this is a shocking thing to me. I never heard this before. Okay, we all know Shanes is a very serious loisaseh. Everything has to be checked for Shanes. Things that you would never expect to have Shanes can have. Ties can have Shanes. You would never expect that a tie can have Shanes. I don't know. We don't check ties, right? We don't check ties, but you're surprised. Hats. There's some exotic straw hats. You know, they have certain little designs here and there. They can have Shanes. Things you would never imagine. Baseball gloves. Okay, they discovered recently some baseball gloves have had shanes in recent times. And a whole color. You wear it when you're out in the field. Sure. When you're out in the field, when you're out holding the glove, is a lavush, it's a malbush. It's giving shelter to your hand. It has the status of a garment. They've discovered recently there are certain types of baseball gloves have shanes. Ties can have shanes. Aprons, kitchen, special garments that are used in the kitchen, aprons. They've discovered Afshanis, yeah?
I don't know where I heard it. Some mattresses.
That's the problem, you're right. A mattress, there's such a chumrah. The Chofetz Chaim, he was mapped on this. He went on the train in the old days before American New York subway has changed to a plastic hard seats. Plastic hard seats. So they had all very nice. So in Europe, in Russia, in Raden, those trains, they had very nice trains. We would see they had very luxury trains in those days.
And
the seats were padded. And many Gedolei Yisrael did not sit down on the seats. They stood the entire trip, many hours. Because there is a halacha, there is brought down in halacha, that there's a chumrah, that a person should not sit down on shatnez, because there is a concern that maybe the fibers of the shatnez will come over on top, will come on top of his flesh, and it will then serve as a malbush. Now it's a very far-fetched chumrah because our chairs are not. That's why the vast majority, 99% of the population, doesn't think about it. You go into any store, any couch, any environment where there's a chair and the chair is padded, you don't think about it. Even if there is shatnez, so what? The chances that the shatnez is going to jut out of the material and come over my body and serve as a levush for me is something which is very far-fetched, so we're not makbid. But it's brought down in halacha, it's brought down in many places, and there was such a chumrah, and there were, it's a fact, many gedolei Yisrael that were makbid not to sit down on chairs. I remember when I was in high school, so my rabbi, Chaim Siegel, so he once told us that someone came to visit him, someone came here at the show, whatever it was, and he didn't sit down in the office. He would not sit down on the chairs in the office, because the chairs in the office were, you know, fancy cloth chairs, padded chairs. And this fellow from Eretz Yisrael, he came from a background where you don't sit down on a chair unless the chair has a tag that it was checked for shanes. And these chairs were not checked for shanes in America. It's unheard of. Who never people doing these crazy, these things, these commerce. But the researching. Now to it, what? How did he fly? It's a problem. It's really a problem. It's not a joke. How did he fly? Very good. There is such a thing. I think the Chofetz Chaim himself was machped on this. I remember reading this with the Chofetz Chaim when he went on a train. He did not sit. He did not sit because he was machped. The Chofetz Chaim It's not something to take lightly.
Why could you put something underneath? Something
it doesn't hard? Matter. It's a chumrah. It's a chumrah that if there is Shabbos, you don't sit down on Shabbos. Even though it's covered.
Something
it is covered.
You have no
it is covered.
Mamish from it.
It is covered. Look, the chair is covered. It's a chumrah. It's a chumrah. Now it's covered, but what's going to be tomorrow? What's going to be the next day? There's going to come a time when the stitches break open and some of the material is going to come up. And you're going to sit down and then you're going to be enveloped in shine. It's a tremendous chumrah.
Yeah.
No one does this. It's unheard of. If you do this today, they're going to be in Mechziki Yehoira come out. Anyone that's so from, you come to shul, your kids are on the chair, it's Mechziki Yehoira. But there is such a thing. Now, why am I telling you this? Because they came across here a new chumrah. Something I never saw before. I never heard this before. From the Yismach Moshe. Okay, the Yismach Moshe. How many years ago did he live? 200 years ago, this is Yismach Moshe. Chuvas, they say he wrote a Chuvas sefer, and he writes that it was such a minhag. It seems that it was a very common minhag that people did not wear wool. Period. They just did not wear wool clothing.
Ooh.
Never. You heard this?
So is that why the Chaim doesn't wear wool and baget?
Who?
Is that fellow Kamnievsky?
He doesn't wear wool and baget?
I don't think so. Like the white.
Maybe it's too hot. It's very hot in Bnei Brak.
That's my robe said.
It's too hot. There is such a thing. Now he writes here. He writes here that today it's unheard of. It's unheard of. Okay, but he writes here that there was such a minhag, and even the those who heard the minhag, because it appears that in these times, I guess you're going back over here, I don't know where it is, Poland, I don't know where you're going back to, 300 years ago, it was not so uncommon that in wool, there was linen. It happened. And even all the shyness testing, it just somehow, the culture, the society was set up in such a way where the tailors, there was always a tyrubis, the threads, and even with all the checking, it was a very, very big problem. So we developed a chumrah not to wear wool. Okay, and even then, it was only for yechidim. But here's what's very interesting. This would have been very, very common, such a custom that it was widespread. It's brought down in Kabbalah Sfarim. He always quotes a sefer, he just quotes a sefer in a lot of Sfarim called the Rekatni. Have you heard the sefer called the Rekatni? Maybe I'm not pronouncing it correctly. The Rekanti writes that if you're davening shachris mincha ma'arif, and you're wearing shatnez, your tefillah will not go to Shemayim. Very interesting idea. You don't want to be makban on shatnez gezunt hate. Okay, not everyone is makban on lashon hara either. There are a lot of things people are not makban on. So listen, I'm not the best. You know, you go to the store, they ask you, and it always isn't so. You go to the store to have shyness testing, you go to one of these, like the hat box, they have a guy.
It has to be one bag, right?
What?
Let's say someone has
a bag. Okay, yeah. No, that's another topic. We'll go. But let's first discuss this. Okay, you go to the store, I always say this all the time, you go to a store, and you ask the person, do you have to check for shyness? So then, like, let's say, I don't know, you ever go, there's a hat box, this place called Hat Box, I'm calling on them. It's like, well, the yeshiva guys go there, things are very cheap, they have very good deals, and there's so much. And they have a guy there who works full time, and one of the things is shyness, so it's very convenient. So you go and you buy whatever you buy, and on the spot, he checks for shyness. Half the time, he's not there. Okay, he's not there. So, I came here because you saved me the trip to the shyness laboratory. I have to go. I thought I would be able to chop it on, and I buy the suit, and the guy checks for shyness. Oh, he's not. What am I going to do now? So I tell you, don't worry, you don't have to check for shyness. This company, we've had it already for 20 years. Never! Ever absolutely did we right find shyness?
Till the next time.
Okay, we never found shyness. They'll tell you that. And I think you can rely upon that. If this type, this company, and this thing.
A lot of stores now, they buy, they contract done suits that have been pre-checked.
Pre-checked.
Before they get on the rack. They only take it in.
They already know it's not shyness. Okay, it's not so simple. You never, ever know. You never know. All of a sudden, one day in China, they don't have threads, so they start using linen threads to do the buns, put on the buns. Or they'll start some part. There's so many parts to us, so you don't realize how many things. So one day, they run out of stock. They're out of stock, so they take some linen thread. You never, never, never know. So not necessarily, it's a problem. They not necessarily check every single part. They check what's common. Things that you never, that are very, very rare, very, very rare, you don't check. But all of a sudden, one day, if you pay attention to the news, Cole Curry, anyone who bought this suit, there's a recall because we've discovered shyness in a part that we never imagined. Who would ever imagine that the stuff in the collar was made from shyness? Whoever would have imagined that the part they stitch, this particular stitch, we never checked because it's never, but listen, it was a whatever happened, when Maya Shahoya Kachai, okay, things like that. All right, fine. So some people are not so makbid, you know, yeah, Shami Lismaich, it's good, it never happens, ain't Rachanan. But you should know, the Reb Katni says, that when you daven, kind of like a Rishon, going back to 2000, going back over 1,000 years, if you daven, and there's a chut of shadness in your clothing, so maybe you're not so makbid in shadness, you're not makbid, but you should know, shadness is a very serious matter in the world of Kabbalah. I'm not into Kabbalah. Shadness, the letters of Satan, Az, or Oz. The Satan is very mighty. Very mighty. It's a very serious thing. It's an equal in your tefillah. Now, to me, yeah, and Lashon Hara is not an equal of my tefillah. and all the other Averis are not an equal of. I don't know. It seems it was a very big Hakpada 200-300 years ago that a shliach tzibur may not wear wool. If you could do whatever you want, but if you are serving as the shliach tzibur, you're not allowed to be wearing a wool garment. Because if you are serving as the representative for the tzibur, no wool. Because wool is always suspect that there might be shanis, and unless it's checked by a big, big mumche who really knows what's going on, we can't be certain. So you want to live a private life and wear wool like we all do today, gezunt hate. But if you want to be the shliach tzibur, there's no wool allowed. And he writes about this tshuva, and he writes about a Maishahaya where there was a community where there was no such minhag, but there was one fellow in the audience, in the tzibur, who was very angry. He made a macha against the shliach tzibur because he was wearing a wool suit. And he said, if you're the shliach tzibur, you can't wear wool. And the minhag of the people in the shul, everyone wore wool. They were not makbid on this. And they went to the Yismach Moshe and he said that the guy is right. The guy is right, it's an old minhag. And if a person, since the shliach represents the tzibur, there is such a minhag, and he does have a right to make a macha, that the shliach tzibur should not be wearing that. Today, we've already gone. What? I guess the talus, I'm assuming the talus is different, because the talus is made by Jews for the purpose of a mitzvah. And the talus is in a category by itself. But if you're wearing a garment that you purchase in a store, it's not a beggar shel mitzvah, then there's a real concern that it might be. So there is such a very fascinating. Then he goes on to say is that if you dive in Nusach Ari, Nusach Moshe, which is Nusach Lubavitch, then shocking what he says, you're not allowed to wear wool. Because it was understood. Anyone who davens Nusach Ari, part of the Kabbalah to daven Nusach Ari, is not to wear wool clothing. So Chabad is not supposed to be wearing anything wool. He goes on to say at the end over here that all of this now generation is bottle mavutal, there's nothing to this mizman hazeh, because today obviously we live in a very different world. But it's interesting to appreciate. I just thought it was something totally new to me. Like this, I thought I saw it all already. This chumrah of not sitting on a chair because maybe in the chair there's shanit, it's going to come on to you. There's such another chumrah of not to wear wool. That is forgotten about. But then there's another inyan of the shliach tzibur not to wear wool because it's a representative. And if there's going to be wool in his garment, it's going to prevent the tefillah from being nisalah to shemayim. And if you're representing the tzibur, we need you. And you have an achrayis. It's a very nice idea because the shliach tzibur has an achrayis to the tzibur. Okay, one more mitzvah we're running out of time is the mitzvah in this parasha that you're not allowed to. Your mitzvah of Zechiras Miriam. Zechor Eitz She'osa Miriam. What Miriam, she spoke Lashon Hara. So the question is, why don't we have a special Shabbos in honor of the mitzvah of Zechiras, the Maisa Miriam? We say in the Siddur that she spoke Lashon Hara and she was sitting with Saras. It's the same Zohar. It's one of the Sheish Zechiras. So all the others we do. I'll give you an example. What do we do? Shabbos. Yishomer. This is the word Zohar.
I know. He said
Zohar. Zohar. And Zohar, the Gemara Darshan, is the Peh. So here's the question. Here is the question. When it comes to Shabbos, Zohar is Yom HaShabbos L'Kadoshah. Do we ever do Zohar L'Shem HaShabbos? We certainly do. Every Shabbos. Every Shabbos. Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim. Zohar Yom HaShabbos. Twice a day. Okay, so that's given. Amalek. Amalek once a year. Parsha Zohar. Okay, we do that. We take out a Sefer Torah. We have a Mitzvah Zechiris Amalek. Matan Torah. Do we ever make one of the mitzvahs is to remember Zohar Yom HaShabbos L'Fnei HaShem L'Fnei HaBukhari. So we have Zohar. Do we ever commemorate the mitzvah of Zohar? Shavuos. We have a whole holiday. We have a whole holiday mekayim the mitzvah to that. What about Egel? Parshas Parah. Poskim can say when you read Parshas Parah, it's the mitzvah deraisa. What's the deraisa? Not the deraisa Parah. It's the deraisa of the Egel. The Parah was the kapara for the Maisa Egel, and every year when we lay in Parshas Parah, this is a Kiyum Deiraisa once a year from a Sefer Torah of remembering the Maisa Egel. So there's only one left. We've gone through five of the six. The only one that's left is remember Miriam, the Maisa Miriam. So why don't we do this? What?
So what is the big one? It says Zachor al Tishkach Eis Asher Yitzchak to us as Shem Lekecha Bamin.
Yeah.
No. So that's
Zachor.
Yeah. It says Zachor Eis Asher.
No, that's the Egel. That's the Egel.
That's the Egel.
Okay. No. And how do we do that? The Zachir always means Dibur. The Gemara proves the word when you say the word because they have Shomar Negatzrat. That's Shemira.
Yeah.
The word Zachor means bepeh. So how come we don't have the halacha of Miriam? So what the simplest answer is, every time you open your mouth, it's not a joke, every time you open your mouth, you make the mitzvah. It's mamash bepeh. The fact that you do not speak Lashon Hara, there's no greater kiyum of Zechira. There's no greater Zechira. Another proverb, the Rambam leaves it out. First, you should know, the Rambam leaves it out. The Ramban takes strong issue. The Ramban taka holds that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. And we follow the Rambam. We never make an issue out of it because the Rambam doesn't record it as a mitzvah. The Ramban strongly disagrees and he holds that you have to do it every day. And the Ramban said, what the person would say is, well, when do we really do most of these things even every single day? We do when we say our Havarabba. When you say our Havarabba, let me show you what we do. We do all these things every single day.
We'll just say these
things
every day.
No, right. So not everyone says. People go their whole life, they never said it even once. They never said. So the Havarava, what do we say? We say here, Kikel Pel Yeshua's Ata, end of a Havarava, Uvanu V'charto Mikol Am V'Lashon. What is that? That's Mamre Har Sinai. So instead of, besides relying upon the fact that we have a Shavuos, a holiday of Shavuos, just saying these words is a Mekiyum D'oraisa of remembering Har Sinai. The Kerav Tonu Malchim L'Shimcha HaGodol. What does that refer to? Amalek. Ki Yod Al Keis Ka Melchomo L'Hashem Amalek. Only half of Hashem's name. Ka. When will Hashem's name be Sholem? Yudke Vavke with Mechias Amalek. So therefore, when we say L'Shimcha HaGodol, HaGodol is the full Shlemus Yudke Vavke. That's the, but right now it's only Ka. Why is it only Ka? Because of Amalek. And then when we say Sabemus Baba L'Hoidois L'Cha, that's Miriam. Hoida, to express, to use the Koyach HaDibur, you can only use the Koyach HaDibur when the Dibur is not filthy with Lashon Hara. So if you don't have, if a person can will forget what happened to Miriam, and he will contaminate his peh with Lashon Hara, it's not possible to use the same tool to give Hoidah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So L'Hoidah L'Cha is a remembrance for Miriam, U'L'Yachetcha Be'ahava, that's the Egel. Because what was the Egel? Eila Elohecha Yisrael. This is the God, not Hashem. The eagle was Kineged Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. There's not one God. There's another God. There's the eagle. When you say Uliyachedcha, there's only one Ribbono Shel Olam Uliyachedcha B'Yavam. There's a rejection of the eagle. So here you have four. Right here, the poskim say you have here the main for Shabbos. You'll need because Shabbos Hayoyim Yoyim Rishoyim B'Shabbos. Hayom Yom Sheni B'Shabbos. Every single day you mention Shabbos when in the Yom, and Yitzias Mitzrayim do twice a day. So the MS is to Ahava Rabbah has four, the Yom is five, and Kriya Shema is six. So the truth is in the Nusach of the And the tefillah, I have a rabbi going to the Shema, you already get five, and when you finish the davening, you say, Hayom Yom Rishon Shabbos, you say every single day. Besides the fact that we make a big event out of it, all five are big events. Shavuos, Parshas Parah, Amalek, and Shema, of course. What are we missing? Yitzias Yisrael, that's Pesach. Yitzias Yisrael is Pesach. Everyone.
What's Amalek?
Parshas Parah. Parshas Parah, the Akapara. Purim? Why was Purim? That's a mole. That's what we read. Anyway, we read the parashah of the Torah. Anyway, we have a whole Shabbos. Parashah Zoch. It's a yom tov also. Okay. And Parah, where's the end of Parah? Where's the end of Parah? I don't have the end of Parah for the Eagle. But Miriam is Takapel. The only answer is to say we don't have a whole. It's very practical. Every time you open your mouth during the day, you have an assignment of what you're going to say. So right away, you have to remember what Miriam, it's the most obvious. Sometimes something is hiding in plain sight. Like people look around. That happened to me a few times. Where are my glasses? Where are my glasses? The whole 10 minutes. I'm wearing them, right? You call up your friend. I can't find my phone. did you see my phone? I can't find my phone. You call up your friend. That's what happens when you're sleep deprived. I'll leave you with a joke. Okay, people who are sleep deprived, they call up their friends to ask them where their phone is. The best sleep deprived joke I saw, I couldn't stop laughing, is a wife was sleep deprived. She didn't sleep a couple of days because she was very busy. And then the baby was crying, so the husband picked up the baby and holding the baby. And so the husband says to the wife, get the pacifier for the poor child. Get the pacifier. So the wife is so tired, she goes, she gets the pacifier, she reads the pacifier, and she puts the pacifier in her husband's mouth.
Was he quiet?
Okay.